Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Welcome back, everyone, to Shollycast. I'm Hydro with Dr. X once again. And for this episode, we are joined by Kaz, or is it Kaz? Welcome.
It's Kaz. Hello, hello. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast.
As we start off with all these episodes, how did you first get into Lolly / Shota art? Like, what piqued your interest in it?
This goes back to like when I was a kid, because I both come from and live in Brazil, and as a child, I was exposed to anime just right off the bat. You know, anime was always a big thing here in Brazil, and I was just always fascinated by it. Absolutely friggin' loved it. Saint Seiya, you know, that kind of stuff. And when I was about 7 years old, give or take, my family moved to Asia. We lived in Singapore for a few years. And there I met a lot of Japanese friends, a lot of Chinese friends, a lot of Korean friends. And that's where I was mostly exposed to this stuff. You know, I thought that anime was a lot more limited. And over there, you know, people showed me stuff like Crayon Shin, Dragon Ball, Sailor Moon. You know, it was just a lot of amazing friggin' stuff. They also introduced me to manga, which I always thought was just comics, like different types of comics. They explained to me like what the difference was. And of course, hentai. You know, there were a lot of, you know, kids there with older brothers, and because it was the 90s and it was a different time and like the internet wasn't as big, a lot of, you know, people would have like family that would come from Japan and they'd smuggle in some some doujin or something else. And then, yeah, like we had this whole thing in the school where I studied in, where like the kids would be like, oh, you're like, I got this really cool, like a new manga, would you like to see it? And then we'd just slink away. And then we'd look at it and be like, oh God, this is so fucking good. So that was my first exposure to it overall. And also, you know, they taught me like how to like search for that stuff. Like the forums, you know, where artists would normally post work. That's where also where I found out that digital art was a thing. As well as like games like Toho, VNs, you know. And yeah, I've been in love with the art and the culture ever since. And I kept it alive as much as I could once we came back to Brazil. When I was around 10 or 11, you know, is when we came back. Because at the time, Singapore had this thing where you weren't allowed to stay there for more than 2 years, or you could, with very few exceptions. So my family was allowed to stay for a little bit longer. So I remember we came back as I was about to turn 11 years old. But yeah, we stayed there for a good long while, a lot of my childhood. And it was amazing. It was a completely different world. Essentially, like going from like Brazil in the 90s to Singapore in the 90s was like traveling in time, you know, being able to see the future, because Brazil, it wasn't until very recently that Brazil sort of exploded, you know, with tech and progress and whatnot. It was something like during the late 2000s, early 10s. Before that, you know, very few people in Brazil owned a computer, but everyone in Singapore owned a computer. Everyone had video games. Everyone would read manga, comic books. It was a completely different thing. It was a completely different culture. And when I came back, I tried my best to like hang tight to that. I missed it a lot. And then that's when I found out that weebs are a thing, you know, sometime around the tail end of middle school, early high school. And oh boy, just stuck around them.
It must, being in Singapore then must have had a pretty profound effect on you then for you to like being in Brazil where the technology was a lot more limited, or you had to wait a little longer before it really started to kind of come into its own. So that must have had a profound effect on you, just those few years in Singapore.
Oh, it absolutely did. That's when I realized that there were a lot more options than I had originally realized. For instance, art. You know, we had a family friend who was an artist, and my mom would basically say, see, you can never become an artist because then you'll be like her. She's just lucky she married someone who's rich. You know, otherwise she'd just be another failed artist. And then we go to Singapore, and then I see that there's this entire culture around artists who are venerated, who can make a living off of it, who are legendary. They're respected. They're not just, you know, drawing, paintings and sketches for friends. They're like actually in the business. And that kind of put the fire in me. And I remember having this one friend. It was this one Korean kid, I believe. He was just an amazing artist. We must have been like 9 years old. That kid, anything you gave him, he would just draw outright. Almost perfectly. And then I was like, oh man, teach me how to do that, because that, like, I fucking love it. So, you know, he pointed me in the right direction. You know, he taught me how to look that stuff up. It was still like, it was the 90s still, so I had to like go to a library, you know, to research art books and like that kind of thing. It wasn't as easy as like looking stuff up on the internet, but yeah, like it was an amazing experience. And then when we came back, I had to wait for a bit. I remember like it took us a year or two until we had internet again. And, you know, by that point, you know, culture on the internet had evolved a lot, you know, from my time in Asia. But I'd learned that, you know, the tech for digital art, which was once very niche and was something that only companies could afford, had started becoming a lot more available, you know, to people. So it was sometime around high school that I decided to take the plunge and go like, all right, much as I love, because at that point, I always continued drawing. Ever since I was like 9 or 10 years old, that just existed. You know what I mean? That desire to like produce art. So, and I was always into like this sort of stuff, because I also play the piano. I've composed stuff in the past, and it was something that like, if art didn't work, then I'd become a musician. And thankfully art worked. But yeah, no, I always had the desire in me to like keep it going. So it was around high school that I realized that there were like tablets available for digital art that were really good, you know, that you could import and make things work. And then I, you know, got myself a summer job, saved up, got a tablet, managed to get it imported, and things just ever since, I never stopped.
Now, for those who don't already know, what kind of art do you usually make? Like, what kind of like characters or subjects?
Oh, it's
I'd like to say that I'm a variety artist. I draw pretty much anything. But lately, I've been focusing a lot more on like Eastern style art and hentai, primarily, mostly loli. That's what I've been known for. And that's what I got like my name out there as, like a hentai artist.
So is loli your favorite kind of character in hentai?
Oh, absolutely. Loli has always been my favorite because I like adorable things. It's kind of funny because I remember back in high school, I would just draw like Cardcaptor Sakura, Chobits. You know, I'd keep drawing fan art of like any cutesy manga that I was reading at the time. And a lot of my friends would go like, "Man, why aren't you drawing Goku, man? What are you, gay?" And I'm like, "Oh, man, I like cute things, man. I don't know what to tell you."
Well, that's one of the major pillars to what makes a loli a loli is the cute factor. That's it. That's possibly the most important thing in design and how they look.
If they're not cute, it ain't loli. I'm sorry.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, we would agree, I would say.
I love how people are like, what are you, gay? But you're like drawing girls all the time.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing to me, because in my head, I remember thinking like, I didn't say anything, but that kind of made a knot in my head. I was like, wait a minute, I'm not gay? Like, I'm gay because I'm not drawing burly men? What backwards ass logic is that?
Yeah. Prove you're not gay by drawing a bunch of like topless, muscular, sweaty men.
Yeah.
With all those ripped abs and chest muscles and yeah.
Yeah, dude, no, it was weird. It was a different time.
Maybe it's one of those weird things where like there's like, well, you know, you reflect who you are in your drawing, and what's this loli stuff supposed to represent? Maybe it's like that weird logic. There's like, I mean, shouldn't you be drawing Goku because that's what you want to look like, right?
Yeah, no, bro. I don't know, man. Could be. I don't. Because yeah, I do not know. I do not know what that logic was.
Imagine if like that like that's how it kind of was even like today, like if you drew loli, people wouldn't like be against like, you know, banning you off of platforms. They'd just be like, "Oh, that's so lame. Why draw that?" It would just be so such a weird parallel.
I remember that there was this one time I got like in deep with Avatar The Last Airbender. And I got in like the fucking fan base. I was part of the shipping wars. I was cringe as absolute hell.
I was part of Korrasami with Legend of Korra, but I also loved Avatar Last Airbender. Yes, so I'm familiar.
So I remember at one point I was part of, you know, a few forums and shit back in the day. And then I remember I drew hentai of like Aang and Katara. And I was banned from the forum. And I remember it wasn't because the forum didn't allow hentai or loli or anything, because they post that shit all the time. It was because one of the moderators there looked at my drawing and he was kind of done with people doing like Katara and Aang ships. So he was just like, "You know what? I'm fucking done with this cringe ass shit. You're fucking banned. Anyone else start drawing their shit and they're fucking going."
Oh man, this was bad. Yeah, I can totally picture that back in the day. That's the sort of thing that you would get banned for, was not so much like, "No, we can't allow loli shoulder." It'd more be like, "God, I hate all these fucking shippers doing all this stupid fan art," and then they ban you for that. It's like when moderators were on power trips or whatever.
No, the thing is that mod, if I recall correctly, he was pro Zuko, and he wanted Katara to be with Zuko. So anyone else who didn't agree with it.
Yep, that was big time back then, yep.
That was huge. The fucking shipping wars, man.
I mean that's how it was back in the day. It wasn't like about, you know, like, you know, Lala and Shota being banned. It was about like who has the best taste in shipping.
Yep. I'll get out of here with this cringe fucking shit, man.
I could tolerate that more than what you have to deal with now, but it's like,
oh, absolutely. Like, I'm not even mad that happened. I'm just like, I genuinely was like, ah, took long enough.
I mean, even with our game IA, although it's much more friendly, but there are people who definitely during the first Sexual Awakening game who were like, no, this MILF is the best, Simone is the best, and then someone else would be like, no, Casey's the best, no. And so like, it brought me back once I started seeing those back and forths between people. It's really funny.
Oh, man. Oh, it's fucking hilarious, man. I legit missed that that time. It was a magical time. People were just stupid. There was no malice.
That this would have been back in like 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, I would think then.
Yeah, just about.
Yep, that's when the peak of all that stuff was going on. And I think that's when Tumblr started to get its momentum too. It started to really pick up on Tumblr, and that's where like shipping wars really took off, and that's where fan art, you know, Tumblr kind of was like a double-edged sword in a way. Like, it became a place where fan bases like would just get out of control with different shipping wars, but it also was a great place for hentai artists and artists to be able to really gain a big following. Because, you know, back then, Twitter was kind of around, but it was really in its infancy, and it wasn't really a place where artists went to. Like, that was not the go-to place. It was Tumblr was the go-to place for artists.
It was Tumblr and DeviantArt, I remember.
DeviantArt, that's right.
Yeah. If you wanted to make it big, you had to make it big in one of those two. And also,
there was also that forum, the I don't think it's WOEC forums, but there was a big, like, there were still some forums back then that were huge and that were like dedicated to just art and stuff like that. Those were really big too.
There was also that one website with a tank. I forgot the name. It's where people like Newgrounds. Yeah. Newgrounds was another one. Oh my God. The only issue is like Newgrounds, you could produce art and post it there, but it was really difficult for you to make it there as an artist. It was easier if you did animations.
Yes, I would agree with that. Yep, because that was the prevalent thing.
Yeah, it was animations and flash games that they had over there, and yeah, it was the, oh man, good shit.
I know after Tumblr banned porn that Newgrounds had like a resurgence.
Yep.
And I remember for a time, animators started to kind of migrate from Newgrounds to YouTube, because YouTube back then, around that time, before the adpocalypse, as they call it, that they had a system with the algorithm where all that really mattered were getting likes and views. It wasn't the duration of time that your video was, didn't really matter. So if you were an animator, all you had to do was make like a 30-second or 1 minute or like just like a song or something and of an animation, and you could actually make a living on YouTube.
Yeah, you absolutely could. No, man, the I remember the fucking good old days with like fucking it was Egoraptor and Oni and Ross Draws.
Which they're all still around. It's just their approach had to change.
Yeah. I'm like genuinely glad at least that like the a good few chunk of them managed to like retain their identity from those days. So yeah, we also had a resurgence of that. We got like Mr. Pillow and like that one green gremlin looking dude, I forget his name. Goobus or something.
Oh, yes, I know who you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's also Flash Gets.
Flash Gets, Meat Canyon. Holy shit, Meat Canyon is a goddamn genius.
Now, what do you think about, like, you know, this like surge of like VTubers who are like lollies, basically?
Oh, I love them.
I do too. I mean, I know there's like kind of like a part of the internet that doesn't like VTubers, but I think they're honestly far more entertaining than watching like just a regular person Yeah, in my opinion, like, I think it's more fun to see like these characters and people putting voices to the characters and having a good time with their designs and coming up with new outfits all the time and things like that.
No, I agree. Yeah, I absolutely love it. I love, like, I actually got into VTubing a little late in the game. I used to see videos of what's her face, Kitsunai? No.
Oh yes.
Kizunai. Yeah, Kizunai. And like her, like doing Resident Evil streams and just swearing all the time, and that was hilarious. And it wasn't until much later that I realized, oh, there, like, I saw people drawing like these characters. I'd see it on Twitter, I'd see it on PixieV, Barog, and I'm like, where the hell are they getting this? And then I realized, oh, they're VTubers. Okay, no, they're VTubers. I get it. And it wasn't until like Hololive came in with the English VTubers that I like finally managed to get into it. And then I started checking out other Western VTubers. I found Lily Hops. I found Millie Moo at the time. She's retired at this point. And it just led me down this rabbit hole. And then, oh, I absolutely love them. Love it, love it. They're always very dynamic. It's always like this... I don't know, man. It's got this really wholesome, just hanging out vibe. It's comfortable. It's cozy. It's just, you know, vibing with friends. And yeah, whenever I can, I watch like Fallen Shadow. I've been helping Poppy get back into VTubing as well. I've been helping her redesign her model. I've been helping a VTuber that's currently out as well, called Ellie. On Twitter, it's Computer Wolf. And been helping her with her design.
Oh, so you actually are actively participating in the VTubing community in terms of designing and getting them set up. That's super cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've got like anything I can do to help them out. Like I actively try to do it. I've just, there was a bit in my life, I'm not going to get into it too hard, but I was in a low point, you know, a few years ago, on account of some personal stuff that happened. And ironically enough, it was watching VTubers that helped me like get out of it. So I've just pretty much like fallen in love with the concept, with like the characters, and anything I can do to help them out. You know, I always provide services, always do anything I can. I've done emotes, you know, for a few. I've done like fan art, commissioned art. And yeah, I hope to keep doing it.
So in a way, it's like you're almost like you wanted to kind of give back to the VTubing community. Is that kind of what your motivation was to get into it? Or was it more that you loved it so much that you wanted to just become a part of it? Or was it both?
It was a bit of both. Originally, it was like, I would like to help out in any way that I can. So I started doing emotes for a few smaller ones. I started just drawing fan art and putting them out there as much as I could. And it was a sort of way to pay back for the help that I felt they'd given me, because they were just doing their shit and they were being fun and they were being funny. And whenever, you know, I was watching a stream, I wasn't as depressed anymore. And then that feeling started to stick. And then the moments that I was depressed became, you know, the exception as opposed to the norm. And they helped me climb out of that hole. So, you know, by that point, I was already working with a few of them, and I loved the community and just interacting with them and getting to know them, that I just never stopped, and I wanted to be a part wherever I could.
Well, that's super cool, and you know, I think that's great that you're helping out VTubers and Lolly VTubers especially, because you know, being a basically Lolly anything, whether it's an artist, VTuber, you're always going to have certain barriers that you have to overcome, especially if like you're a Lolly VTuber who sometimes does lewd things that or like has a model that they can toggle off to be completely naked, completely naked. Then of course you enter a whole different realm. And so that's great that you're now. Do you also like do things like, do you make like promotional art or like banners for them or like, you know, other like miscellaneous art to kind of like nice to spruce up their channel or like their social media stuff?
Yeah. Whenever anyone requests that I do anything for them, it's, you know, it's say the word. I've helped. Like right now, the one VTuber that I'm trying my absolute hardest to get out there is Poppy Mousy, and we are doing a complete overhaul of our Twitch. You know, new model, new emotes. I'm gonna be doing the banners, stream elements as many as I can. I have like animators coming in to help, you know, get her live 2D model going.
Nice.
Yeah, like I've been working on the model, you know, alongside her this whole time, and yeah, just trying to like give her a chance, you know, a fighting chance to be able to be the VTuber that I know that she can be, and just have fun with it. Because that's the thing, the Lolly artist community is minuscule. It's tiny. We're it's sad to say, but we're kind of a dying breed, and we are stronger together. And it's the same, you know, with VTubers, because VTubers and artists go hand in hand. So whenever artists can help, there's only good things can happen, you know, when they work side by side. And that's exactly what I want to like bring to the table. You know, I've had a lot of people help me out through the years. I've had a lot of much more competent artists who had no business helping me out, you know, help me out. And I've always grown because of it, and anything I could do to help him out, I did, and I still do. I like to this day, you know, if I'm in communities I have no business being in, I know artists I have no business knowing, because they are just gargantually bigger and more competent than I am, and they help. You know, I can just hit them up and go, hey man, could you help me with this thing? Like, I'm having a little trouble with this commission. Yeah, sure, send me the thing, I'll help you redline it. And I don't even think twice. And it's great. And they come to me for help as well. And I help them out. New set of eyes, you know, that kind of stuff. And I want, we need that. We need that kind of unity. It's not about, like, there's this one thing that I don't really agree with that's been going on, especially like on Twitter, which is like naming and shaming. It's this whole like drama angle. Ah, you know, we got to call out the antis. We got to fight back. We got to push. Nah, man, ignore the antis. Yeah, I don't agree that like butting heads with antis is productive at all. What's productive is showing everybody, hey, look how good of a thing we have here. You know, it's what happens in art. If you make good art consistently, you show growth. You show that you have good ideas. You show that you're willing to interact with people. Your audience will come. It's the same with VTubing. It's the same with everything. And if all you're doing is shouting down and calling people names, you know, that's all you'll be known for. And it's a shame, you know, it's a shame if that is all you've known for, you're known for. It's a waste.
The best things we can do in the Lolly and Shota community is just help each other out and be a strong community. And I think that's a lot more important than arguing with antis.
Exactly.
So that's a losing battle every time.
Okay. Like in terms of like convincing an anti or in some way, or, you know, helping them come along, it's honestly probably a lot better if they just see that, you know, we're like a, you know, the community, like regular people just helping each other out, and not like like monsters or whatever the fuck they think. And, you know, that's, and, you know, having like a very positive community, that helps them a lot more than, you know, focusing on the negative and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like nobody cares. Right. The thing with the drama is that it can feed a false sense of growth, because if all you do, you know, on Twitter is, you know, call people names, eventually you're going to find a big enough audience that agrees with you and they're going to cheer you on. They go, yeah, fuck yeah, dude, be based. But then that's all you're known for. And that does not translate to your work being viewed. Because something that people keep saying, ah, don't change art, you know, to appease to people that are never going to watch it or are never going to consume it. Yeah, correct. The exact same is true for art and VTubing and animators. You know, just be yourself, do good work, be entertaining, and the community will come. It's not a competition. Like artists, I've been in other communities before where artists saw each other as competition. It was horrible. It was toxic. They kept shouting newbies down. You know, they kept going like, oh, you know, we're doing this because we want to see if you can survive the trial by fire. Because if you do, if you survive this, then you'll show us that you really care. No, like, why not just look, tell the kid some tips or like give him a north, you know, because with me, it's always been an artist who is better than me, that understands things better, will tell me, oh, I read this book, or oh, I did this class regarding this thing. Maybe you could find something of your own. Oh, fuck yeah, dude, let's go. And it's the same with pretty much anything. You know, if you give like newbies and like smaller content creators a chance to develop their skill, then you grow together.
Exactly. And it's like, it's important for like, let's say there's a newcomer in the Shoto Lolly community who does art, or even any kind of artist in any community, it's important that they don't, you know, try to compare themselves with other people too much. And, you know,
the comparison thing will happen. It always happens. It happens to me. It has happened to every other artist I've known, regardless of size. It is just a thing that happens. The important thing to remember, and this is something that was taught to me by a much, much bigger artist, was never compare your journey with someone else's. Because it's not about being better or worse. It's not a competition. It's about my journey right now. The chapter of my life, of my art journey is here. It is further than yours, and you have a lot of ground to cover. So as an artist who has done this for longer or has figured out this before this other person, I can perhaps like show you some way of walking this road that'll make it easier, that'll help you, you know, travel this faster. And when you feel like, and this is a tip I give to any aspiring artist, or like entertainer or whatever, if you ever feel inferior or you feel yourself comparing to other people, it's legitimately not a competition. The thing is, right, you just need to learn. That's all. And you need to put in the effort into learning and walk the path. That's it. Everyone's been there. Everyone is constantly thinking that they could do better, that they could be better. Why aren't I a better artist? Why are my numbers so low? Why is this? Why is that? Just breathe. Introspection. Figure stuff out. Ask bigger creators. Ask people who you might know. Join communities. Because, you know, artists stronger together.
Exactly. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we started the podcast is having that networking and, you know, helping artists out.
No, hell yeah.
You know, showcasing the work and, you know, getting the word out there on their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing you guys are doing that.
It's always going to be a constant journey as a creative person, whether you're an artist, musician, a game developer. It's always going to be a continuous journey. It's not like all these successful creators. First of all, they definitely put in the work. Like there is no doubt that you have to put in the practice and the work in order to reach that point. But they're always going to be working for new stuff and wanting to develop new things. I don't think I've ever seen a single creative person be like, no, you know what? I'm satisfied where I've gotten. This is as far as I'll go, and that's it. Like that never happened. That doesn't happen.
No, here's the thing. I've been around long enough, and I've been to enough places to have seen that happen before. The only problem is, occasionally, this one little niggling bug will always show up at the back of your head and start like chewing at it.
Yep.
It'll go like, man, why aren't I growing? I'm seeing that one artist that like 3 years ago, you know, had like 100 followers or some shit, you know, did some pretty decent art, but now, Jesus Christ, they're like drawing circles around me. What the fuck is happening? And it's like, look, there are people who settle, and there's nothing wrong. If you're happy with where you are in your art journey, it is what it is. Just remember that once you settle, it's hard to regain that momentum. It's easier to always keep moving than it is to keep start-stopping. So keep studying, keep practicing, keep trying to outdo yourself. Don't, because eventually something, you'll see something or meet someone who will inspire you and you'll go like, oh my God, why aren't I this good? Like what happened? I have seen it happen so much.
There's like that meme of showing an artist like drawing something they did in 2010, and then it shows their drawing in 2023 or 2022, and it looks slightly worse, and then they like make that reaction face. They're like, "What? How does it happen?"
Oh my God!
You're right though that it's definitely. I think creative people always will have that challenge to overcome of wondering why. They aren't as successful or wondering why they don't have as many followers. But I think Dr. X and I can kind of understand it from this perspective that it's more about the most important thing you can do, especially as a Lolly Shota artist, is to not get discouraged by people who don't like what you're drawing. Because I feel like that's probably the biggest motivation killer of all.
Oh, it is. Oh my God.
Because I have heard of artists, creators who definitely have like lost almost all their motivation from that. But on the other hand, I've heard of artists who just get and this is actually for people who are listening to the podcast who may not be a creator, but love supporting creators. You're like following them or whatever. If you really love someone's art, I seriously would recommend that if you ever feel like it, send a nice little message to an artist that you really like or you're following or whatever and tell them how much you love their art. And believe me, when you do that, that actually makes a big, big difference for an artist to hear that. It's a huge, huge motivator.
Oh my God. I've seen artists who were going through like the absolute worst thing. And then they were like, oh man, I'm about to quit art. You know, this fucking sucks, this, that, and the other. And then they get this one random DM, you know, of a person going, oh my God, that one pic you posted like 4 months ago, man, that was awesome. And that's it. And then they'll like, they will completely, all right, fire's back in, mojo's restored, let's fucking go.
Well, it's like that extended hand. It's like that extended hand or like that ladder to get them out of the hole that they're in.
Exactly. It legitimately helps, and it helps so much.
I mean, I know this was like several years ago, and it's so funny to think about it now. But you know, Dr. X and I at one point were at a spot where we were like contemplating whether or not IA would continue or not, just from the various pressures of stupid websites and Patreon and things like that. And it was because of the community that we were able to kind of, it was both us, you know, kind of doing a lot of inner reflection. Like you said, you have to do a lot of introspection as a creative person to really like motivate, also to motivate yourself as well. But the community kind of was that extra step to really push us past, at least for me, that's kind of how it was. But I think Dr. Rex too, where we now are at a spot where we just want to keep going. We just want to keep creating, and we don't really care how the environment is. Because in our opinion, we actually think, Dr. X and I both think that the Lolly Shota stuff is actually going in a positive direction in terms of people accepting it more than it was in the past. And I think part of that reason is because you now are getting more communities, more people joining together. Like you said, you know, it's kind of like the apes together strong thing. It's like Lollies and Shotas cute and ooh together.
Yeah, exactly.
And so now you've got places like Barag, you've got things like different element servers, and you've got Athe, and you've got suddenly places that didn't exist like 5 or 6 years ago now are there, and now you're getting more and more communities building up, and all these artists who are doing Lolly Shota, or you know, even some of the other fetishes that tend to get targeted a lot, like bestiality or zoophilia and like non-con stuff, they get targeted all the time too.
Oh, they absolutely do.
But now they got a place to be, to kind of call home and with other fellow creators.
Yeah, no, I genuinely would much rather, you know, for people who do these controversial like subject matters, don't stop. Don't never stop. If the money at some point stops coming in for it, adapt, draw something else, but keep doing what you're doing on your own time. And I'm sure that things will turn around, because the thing is, right now what's happening isn't that, like, people keep telling me, that there are so few like Lolly Shota artists left. I'm like, it's not that they're gone.
Difficult to find.
It's not even difficult to find, but sometimes it is. You know, there are some of them who don't even post on the internet anymore because they don't care for the backlash. So what they do instead is they post, you know, to their own little communities. I've seen like artists in IRC even today, like in this day and age, post stuff in IRC because they just don't want to fuck around like with Discord and whatnot. And they keep their communities closed. You know, closed, and it's better to have that small, tight-knit community that is sustainable rather than an explosive, volatile one that'll blow up in your face and get you banned everywhere. And right now, what's going on is we're at a sort of a turning point.
Yes.
Yeah, where people keep going, you know, because this Lolly shit, you know, they keep trying so hard to sanitize it. They keep trying to rationalize it. They keep trying, no, you know, this is degeneracy, you can't do it, and you have Twitter banning the term Lolly. And then you have websites like PixieV that just keep growing and growing and growing, and it does not stop. And the difference is they allow Lolly. Barag keeps growing. Miski is, surprisingly enough, it's going harder than, like, remember, what was that? That one Facebook thing that they tried to do recently is like Twitter. I don't even remember the name. The people were like, oh my God, Twitter's dying.
Yeah, the stupid spaces thing.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that crap even existed.
Yeah, see what I mean? Like that one website that was like an at, like the symbol was an at, I forgot the name.
Yeah, I think it was Spaces.
Yeah, that place is dead now, you know? Why? Oh, they didn't allow porn. So there you go.
I don't know if have you ever heard of J18 Publishing?
J18, I have not, no.
Dr. Rex kind of introduced me to that. And man, like, I got to say, it is impressive how J18, first of all, they went to
Anime Expo.
Anime Expo. I always forget the name. Anime Expo. And they had a huge booth. But what do? They actually publish different doujins and hentai mangas that are not only translated to English but are uncensored, and they do shota and loli, and it's and they promote that stuff on Twitter. They do all that stuff, and they've been getting momentum too.
Yeah, there you go.
Because the thing is, and this is kind of like Dr. X has this theory, and I think he's right about this, that because J18 is an entity, because it's like a business, that antis can't really, like, nobody can really go after them, because it's not like an individual, it's like a company. So that, I think it's awesome to see stuff like that, because that means, like you said, the crossroads and the tides are turning, where you're getting these communities are starting to grow and grow and grow. And as they grow more, and as that as things like J18 become more, they allow the acceptance of different art and stuff like that, and different creations of loli, shota, things like that. What ends up happening is sometimes those creators who've been, you know, in these very tiny little communities, once they start to see that things are becoming a little safer outside of where they currently are, they kind of break out of their shell a little bit, or they might get a little bit of that motivation, and then that just kind of continues the momentum. It's like a psychological thing. It just continues the momentum, and then that's what would be awesome to see that happen.
Yeah, no, it absolutely would. I agree with you on that. And right now, one of the reasons I'm saying that, like, well, we're at a tipping point, is because, especially in regards to VTubing, there is a lot of, you know, talk in the background saying that, like, oh, you know, there are companies that are, like, if you open up as a loli VTuber these days, it's basically career suicide, you're going to get blacklisted, this, that, and the other. Look, could that be happening? I don't know. Maybe, I know, companies do stupid shit. What I know is, one company opening up today that is anti-loli, and then Hololive, which features Gura heavily, who is
their star child, basically.
Exactly. Look, every big Hololive VTuber, like their biggest ones, are either loli or loli adjacent. Most of the Western streamers as well, like the indie VTubers on the West as well, like the big ones, lollies. You have Lily Hobbs, you have Shondo, you know, and is it the design that's carrying it? I don't know. But I'm just saying that there is a market for it. It's not a small one. And anyone who leans on that market is going to outlive everyone who hasn't. Because it keeps happening. I'm just going by the history. Look, DeviantArt, why did it fail? You know, why is it down right now? It's supporting shit that artists don't care about. It went anti-porn. It allowed porn before. Suddenly it didn't anymore. So I understand that we are at a cultural shift right now, where the pendulum swung back around really hard. And a lot of places are becoming really fucking Puritan and stuffy all of a sudden. But that pendulum's going to swing right back around. And as soon as it does, anyone who, like, got in at this point, you know, doing the loli stuff, I can guarantee is going to outlast the people who haven't. I know so many artists these days who started with loli, who made their communities with loli, who had to give it up, you know, because of Patreon. And when I refuse to do it, or have to live, you know, oh, you know, have to create a different art handle or whatever. It happens a lot, and it sucks. But the artists I know today that stuck with loli are, like, many of them are perfectly fine. So there is a way. You know, they're doing their best. So, yeah, just don't listen to the propaganda. Don't, you know, find ways to circumvent, and just keep doing what you're doing.
That's actually a really good that's actually a really good point. Like, Dr. X and I have found that since we have kind of filtered out the noise of social media and, you know, sensationalism and, you know, you know, fear mongering and panicking and stuff. Our mental well-being has improved tremendously.
Yeah, that's the thing. Of course, if you listen to only the people that are shouting you down, that's all you're going to hear. If all you're doing is out there on Twitter seething because, oh, these dirty antis, instead of being out there in the community, which is continuously growing, you know, instead of being among friends, among artists, among creators who are friendly to them, of course it's going to like chip away at you. It's acidic. That thing just eats at you. And
exactly. It's like, especially for people in the Lolly and Shadow community, it's important that we really like take a hard look at all the positives that's going on. You know what I mean? And not focus too much on the negatives, because there is tons of positives. Like I've been having a great time in the Lolly and Shadow community for all these past years, and it's honestly been one of the best times of my entire life. So,
oh hell yeah. I wouldn't be able to do, I'm just saying this, right? I would not be able to do what I do today without the love and support of the entire Lolly Show community, of my artist friends who help me out so much, you know, who continuously just give me that, you know, that push, that drive to keep going. I can be depressed as hell. I can be not feeling well. I can be in the middle of like a vicious week-long art block. They're always there, you know. You have Fanbox backers, you have clients, you have friends, you have this entire community.
Subscribe star.
Exactly, that people who will support you if you're putting anything out there. It can be like one person telling you, "Hey man, good job." That is enough. And like try to grow with the community, not antagonizing, not going, like, not seeking a fight, you know, not trying to, like, oh, I'm going to be a Lolly Show defender. That doesn't do anything. I'm sorry. It doesn't. So if you want out there, if you want to be there, support your local artist, you know, tell them how much you like their stuff. Just like them, retweet their stuff. Cheer them on. You know, you don't have to pay us. You don't have to, like, of course, like, you know, the money's great, but not only, you know, of bread does a man live. You know, you need that, you need to realize that artists are people too. And yeah, we have bad days. We have downs, and like our downs. And when someone tells us, hey man, you know what? Good job. Oh, that just makes all the difference.
It absolutely does, yeah.
Yeah. So do that. You know, next time you feel angry at an auntie or whatever and you want to, like, shout one of them down, go to an artist instead and go, man, love this pic you drew. There you go. Right there. You're helping the community a lot more than you would by you know, telling an auntie how much he sucks.
Yeah. And what's also really important is, like if you like someone's art and... you can just share it with your friends, you know, tell them about the artist.
Strategically, of course, because if some of your friends don't like that stuff, you can always like make sure to send them stuff that they would be okay with.
No, that's another thing. Look, one thing I want to make absolutely clear here as well. Do not create an echo chamber, right? One thing that's also becoming a lot more prominent these days, and I don't personally agree with, is, oh, I can just hang, I can only hang around people who I agree with. No, that's dumb. I have, surprisingly enough, you know, I have friends and I know artists, like personally, who I have done things with professionally, who are antis. They don't like Lolly Show. But that's the thing, right? They don't care. They know I do it. They just don't care. They can go, oh, you know what? As long as you're not stuffing that down my throat, I'm perfectly fine with you. Just don't be a dick. So I know many artists who don't like Lolly Show. So I just send them pictures. You know, I ask for help that aren't Loli Show related. They're not even against hentai. They just don't like Loli. Nothing wrong with that. It's just, I don't see any of those, you know, any of those people. And why am I friends with them? Because they're, I don't see any of them being dicks about it. They're not out there going, ah, you fucking degenerates. No, just, I don't like it. They just tell me flat out, all right. You draw hentai, right? I'm like, yeah. You draw Loli? Yeah. Don't show me that. Perfectly fine.
I think that's an important distinction, is that personally, so somebody who doesn't like Loli Shota but doesn't care if you do it, I don't really consider that person an anti, but...
Yeah. Well, when I was talking about sharing with your friends, I don't mean like sharing indiscriminately. You need
Yeah.
Don't like, I don't know, don't share it with your grandma if you think she's going to freak out about it, which you probably will.
Oh, man.
Be smart about it, and, you know, of course, respect the boundaries of your friends. If they don't want to see it, don't share with them.
You know, it's that classic life rule. Just don't be a dick.
Yeah, and so I was basically thinking about it in the context of having friends in the Loli and Shota community, which is actually pretty important. If you like Loli and Shota, you don't have to be an artist. You can just be an enjoyer. It's like, I think it's really important to have friends in that community because...
it is. It absolutely is.
I know that some Loli and Shota enjoyers, they can feel pretty alone because, you know, might not have any friends who like that stuff, and that can like bring them down, and you know, so that's, it's really, you know, try to network with people, you know, try to talk to people in the community, at least if that's something you think you'd go for, and you know.
Yeah. No, I've actually known people, not only artists, but like just people who enjoy it. Who told me before, like, man, I didn't know that there were so many people out there who enjoyed this sort of content, because like the people I'm around with, they usually shout me down, they call me this, they call me that. I'm like, maybe you just need new friends. that's literally it. But yeah, like, surround yourself with all walks of life, but remember, you need friends, like-minded people around you as well. If you're finding yourself getting shouted down by friends in regards to like this one thing, maybe, you know, try to find a few more like-minded friends in regards to that, because it helps. It helps to not feel like you're this weirdo, you know, this friggin' like, oh man, am I in the wrong here? Just having that thing in the back of your mind constantly. It is such a relief when you realize that you're not so strange, you know, as people keep deeming, because you like a piece of content or another. I mean, holy shit, that could be around, about anything. I remember being told back when, like, I was in high school, like, oh man, Kaz, you are, like, so friggin' weird in regards to movies, because I love movies, man. So I'd, like, fucking go on about, like, oh, like the cinematography of Aliens, the history behind it. Oh, have you watched Dune? You know? And then people were like, oh man, you're fucking insufferable. Oh, all right, I'm sorry. So then I found, you know, like-minded people who fucking loved movies, and every once in a while we get together, we watch movies. It's great. That's what I mean. You know, it was awesome to see that. Oh my God, there are people out there who enjoy this one aspect of life as much as I do. That is so cool.
Yeah. And do you remember back at the day, like even furries had gotten kind of some of the same treatment that Loli and Shota people do?
Oh yeah. Oh, they still do.
And you know what the furries did is that they even despite all that, they just networked and became friends and made communities, and you know, they became so fucking big that, you know, pretty much most people don't treat criticism against furries very seriously now.
Yeah, exactly. That is what I mean. You have to just show that the market is there, that the numbers are there, that the community is there. Oh my God, I remember back in the 90s when shit like Rescue Rangers came out, and everyone on the internet was going absolutely mental about Gadget.
Yes.
And then anytime anyone would post about, oh my God, like, Gadget is so cute, you guys, here's some fan art I made about her, And then you'd get the odd guy go, ah, you fucking animal fucker, get the fuck out of here. And then like years later, you know, look at what happened.
I mean, people today are talking about fucking the like the baseball mascot, man. We've gone far a long way since then.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I remember back in high school, I could not talk about anime in high school like that. That was,
oh man,
like, because I mean, when you think about it, it wasn't as severe of getting, you know, pushed it like stigmatized as, you know, if you're furry or loli or shota. But I remember anime was like, because back in like the 2000s and even into the early 2010s, anime was still like, if you were an anime fan in the United States or like in a Western country or whatever, you were considered a pretty big weirdo.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It wasn't until like later on when I got, you know, into like college age that I finally met people who also really liked anime, and then I was able to get into it. Because I think I honestly, the reason why I didn't watch a whole ton of anime during my teens, or at least it took me a while to get into it, was because it was stigmatized. Like I couldn't really find people who I could talk about with different anime shows. Like I loved the original Pokemon series, but like, you could not talk about that during middle school or high school. That they would shit on you hard if you talked about it.
I was like, "Oh, you fucking baby!"
and now look at how much art there is of people fucking Pokemon. So
exactly. Oh my god! No, it is. It do be like that, man. It do be like that. It is what it is. You know, it used to be the lot of us. Like, oh man, I remember like myself. Because I was a fan of like Saint Seiya, I remember like this one guy who would have, I think he had like family in Sao Paulo or something. Because like, for context, Brazil has this one city, which is the capital of the state of Sao Paulo. It's a city called Sao Paulo. And in that city, we had like the largest Japanese community outside of Japan in the entire world. And it's one of the reasons why Brazil has such an active, like, Japanese culture thing going on. Like, I don't know if you know, but, like, Tokusatsu is in Brazil. Like, before the U.S. got Power Rangers, we were getting Tokusatsus here all the time. You had Shiraiya, Juspion, Changeman. We had everything that would come out in Japan. We would get a translated version. It was either like translated or like sub. Some of them were subbed, I remember. Sometimes it wouldn't even translate it. That's because like we had the community for that. And then, you know, that started getting slowly phased out, except for, you know, within the Japanese communities. And then if you wanted anime, you would have to like know a guy who knew a guy who would often travel to Sao Paulo, and then he could score you a few VHS tapes. And I remember like this one guy who had family in Sao Paulo, and I'd constantly just give him a few bucks and go like, man, could you get me a VHS for this anime? And he's like, you're fucking weed, man. Just cut that shit out. He would do it because I pay him, but he disliked it. And that's the point. And I remember I only really got found like-minded people when I was like in the second year of high school when I found out that like, you know, dirty, disgusting weebs were a thing who were like really into it.
Yeah, like, see, I didn't have that in high school. So like I didn't get exposed to it until even later. Then I found out about weebs and stuff like that. But I definitely felt like there was a certain point where I think once Crunchyroll and once it was kind of a mixture of things. Number one is, I think, the ability of streaming services, I think, made a big difference with more people getting exposed to anime. And, of course, communities growing. Like, in other words, just like Dr. X said, when the furry community was made fun of, when they were mocked and everything like that, they just stuck together, formed their own communities, and they got so massive and so large now, making fun of them now is just kind of ironic and more of a joke. Kind of the same thing with anime fans. They grew, banded together, made the big, huge communities. Now you've got like My Anime List, which is huge. You got all, and on top of that, you also had other factors in play, like, you know, you had big, you know, companies like Netflix adapting animes from mangas. And then also you had also the comic book industry just totally collapse in terms of their quality. So people are just like, man, this is freaking garbage. And so then people started turning to mangas. And now mangas are more popular than United States comic books, like by a very large margin. They're way more popular.
Yeah, no, exactly. Here's a funny thing, though. I not to like shit talk the comic book community these days, but when I was younger, you know, I was. And by the way, I also completely understand that, you know, each community, you know, maybe I just got unlucky. But my interaction with the comic book community here in Brazil at the time, you know, was completely different from the anime and hentai community, mostly on account of like the whole thing of treating each other as like competition. That I saw it a lot more in the comic book community back in the mid 2000s than I did anywhere else. And it's one of the things that put me off it. Like, I remember at the time, I used to be big into comics. I would, like, get into comic book trading. I would just buy as many issues of stuff as I could. I was a huge fan of Marvel and DC. At the time, like, Civil War was coming out. Like the Marvel Saga Civil War, and I fucking loved that. And then I remembered, like, I tried getting to know a little more about the community and stuff, and like meeting some artists. And my experience with it overall was pretty poor. There were, of course, a lot of amazing artists I met who weren't like that, but I met enough that I kind of backed out of it. You know, and I decided to, like, you know what, maybe I'm gonna give this this manga thing another shot.
Good decision.
Yeah. And oh man, yeah, it's been a really good thing. I feel like that was the right call to make when I made it.
Yeah. And so what I wanted to ask earlier is there any like franchises or fandoms you really like making art of?
Oh boy, I haven't really been able to make a lot of art of stuff recently, but I do like making VTuber art, like a lot. It's one of my favorite things to draw.
That's like one of its own like categories on social media.
Yeah. I like, let's see. Oh, I want, like, lately I've been playing a lot of Blue Archive, and I have been like jonesing to make some art of those girls as well. I've also done some fan art for one thing I really, really enjoyed was Maid Dragon. Like, I've drawn a lot of Kana. Like, anytime I could. And Spy Family. I've also drawn...
Love Spy Family.
Some Anya. Oh, man. I've drawn Spy Family. Yeah, I've drawn Anya. And I want to draw her more. Currently working on a commission with her. And I cannot wait to be able to finish that. Because, I love it. I freaking love Anya.
Anya's definitely, like, I would put her at the top of the tier list as true loli. That you can also lewd. That's, like, way up there. That definitely.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
And Becky, I like Becky. She's cute too.
Yep, it's just everybody in that friggin' anime is just solid. Oh, even the Shada, like, friggin' forget his name.
Damien,
yeah. I keep thinking it's Lucian, but it's not. Damien, yeah. He is. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, my wires keep getting crossed in my head. I'm like, I know it's not Lucian. Stop telling me that, Brady. Like, no, go ahead with, man. But yeah, no, Damien. Oh my god, like, I, the one pick that I did of them, like on my downtime, features all three of them. I'm like, yeah, no, there you go. I wanted to draw one and then the other and then the other. Like, you know what? Nah, fuck it. All three of them. Let's go.
Yep, I've saw it. It's pretty great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But yeah, let's see. What else? Been wanting to draw. Oh, Onimai as well. Definitely. Onimai, like I am now your sister, like the one with the gender bend lolly.
Oh yes, that one. Yep.
Oh man, that one speaks to me for some reason. I want to draw a fan art of that. I'm gonna, like, as soon as I get some free time again. That's next on the list. And the one with I forget the name of the anime. Something daddies.
Oh,
Buddy Daddies.
Buddy Daddies, yes. Oh my god, that lolly is incredible. I want to draw her. Like she needs to be drawn. There is not enough art of her.
Yeah, I feel like that show for some, like Dr. X and I actually have watched several episodes, but then we just kind of stopped watching it, and it was pretty fun. But yeah, I feel like that show didn't get enough momentum for some reason. But yeah, I do like her character a lot.
I think I'd like continuing to watch that. I think it just goes back to what you just said, where like, because it didn't get as much momentum, it's easier to kind of fade away from your mind and, you know, kind of you get distracted with other stuff. I think it might have gotten more attention with like the yaoi / BL communities. So
I don't doubt it. It's because like it came out, the one thing that when that came out and I told some of my friends about it, everyone pretty much said the same thing. Oh, the Spy Family knockoff?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it came out at a bad time.
I'm like, no, it's not, dude. It came out around the same time, and they were like, you know, I prefer Anya. I'm like, no, that's not the point. It's not the same thing. You know, it's a completely different story, completely different setting. It just feels like the same because, like, the thematically it's similar, but no, it's like completely, it's its own thing. And they were like, nah, I just prefer Spy Family. That's fine. So I think it got overshadowed.
Yeah, but if it was released like a different time, it probably would have gotten more attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when me and Hydra were watching it, we joked about the lolly getting spit roasted by the two daddies.
So some artists get on that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's on the list. It's on the list.
Now, what anime are you currently watching, or like, are you thinking of watching that might have like a lolly character or anything like that? Have you got anything on your watch list?
Honestly, I've been. I don't know. I actually don't know how lolly heavy it is, but I have been wanting to get into One Piece. I know it's a daunting task, and I know it's going to take me something of a lifetime and a half. But you know, you chip away at that mountain, eventually we'll get there. So yeah, I've been wanting, like, I've been dipping my toes in some One Piece. I've been really liking it. Let's see, an anime with lollies on it. I've been wanting to get back into Maiden Abyss. I hadn't watched the entirety of season 2. I watched it sort of broken up. So I want to get back on that as soon as I have the chance.
I love Maiden Abyss.
Oh my god. Maiden Abyss is one of those where, like, I keep thinking, man, I should draw stuff for Maiden Abyss. But anytime I do, I'm like, what the hell do I draw? Because it's like, for some reason, it doesn't hit me. I know this is like a fucking skill issue or something, but I can't really think of something that's like lewd. I think I would have more fun drawing like Safe for Work stuff with Maiden Abyss. I don't know why. Because it's horny as hell. Like, the manga is so fucking horny.
And the original creator likes not safe for work art of his characters.
Oh, he loves it. And I keep thinking, like, okay, now I'm going to draw like Reg and the blonde lolly and I can't. God damn it. I need to think of something. And then I keep thinking, oh, you know, maybe it could be like a non-con scenario or like, oh, you know, she ran afoul of some creatures from the abyss and, oh, and they want to use her as a seedbed. But then I'm like, oh, that's derivative. And I want to think of something to make it mine, and I can't tap into that for some fucking reason. I want to so much. I have sat down so many times and went, all right, I'm going to draw Nanachi tonight. What do I do? I have no idea. And then that well just dries right up, and then I draw anything else. Oh my God. But that is one. I need to get back into Maiden Abyss. I have to finish the second season. And oh man, I need to just crank my head and produce something with that, because I have been aching for it and I never had that like aha moment that I feel would work.
It's such an interesting situation that, you know, Maiden Abyss is so horny and you know all the lolly and shota stuff, but it's still like very popular with normies. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. Like what's wrong with that? Oh, because this one's interesting. So, oh, no, it's okay when he does it.
I wonder if it's one of those ironic things where, like, because Maiden Abyss, it gets pretty heavy at a lot of points and does have a lot of violence in it. And, I mean, it might be one of those ironic things where, like, I don't know, that they enjoy the fact that, like, the normies, anyway, like the fact that it's, like, very edgy and very violent or something. And, like, that they ignore the fact that it's horny, too. I don't know. It's hard to say.
One thing someone said, which I kind of see their point of view in regards to that, is like, they don't see the horny as out of place.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's not shoehorned into it. They're like, look, their society is just like this. They're like, you know what? If they're worse, in a society where they treat orphans, like, you know, they send orphans down a hole which will make them sick, and it's filled with dangerous animals that can just kill them in a heartbeat. You know, maybe caring about, you know, gender segregation and shit and being moralists about it isn't a big deal. So they're like, oh, you know what? The overeager lolly who can't stop taking her top off doesn't seem out of place.
It could be true. The dynamic between her and Reg also feels very natural, probably to the normies too.
Yeah,
it could be that as well. Because I get what they say when they say things are shoehorned in, like, you know, fan service things. Whereas in Maiden Abyss, it feels like that doesn't happen. It feels like it just kind of more naturally occurs.
Yeah. For instance, right? You don't have, Reg, no, actually, Reg is a furry, but, you know, he lusts for Nanachi.
Yeah, he loves her soft fur, yep.
Exactly, but he doesn't lust after Riku. His thing is different. Like, with her, he has this friendship, this enduring friendship, and then, oh, man, and then in the manga, like, Faputa comes along and Riku asks if she could sniff her butthole. I don't fucking know what's going on in that shit, man. Oh, that manga is weird and I fucking love it. It is amazing. But yeah, I want to. I just never managed to like tap into that. And I think it's a joint. The fact that it's so, you know, hip with the normies, as you say, is because it manages to merge and like, I guess, coalesce, not even that, just sort of like have the right contrast between innocence and edge. Because yeah, like I like seeing, like watching them explore shit and have this like, yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of it. And at the same time, in the back of my head, I know that if they do, they're going to fucking die.
Only if they go up, only if they go up, as the meme shows, like, there was that funny meme where it showed, like, an elevator and a guy, like, screaming in his chair, like, when he saw the elevator in Maiden Abyss. Yeah. Shows like Maiden Abyss they can sometimes be one of the things that bridges the gap between the normies and the people who already are part of the Lolly Shota community. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So when that happens, that's good, because that means that you're going to get some people who may cross over to the other side or are more going to become more accepting of it, or that's usually how it goes. Something that's very, very popular tends to, especially if like you get really popular characters that people really like, or they really like the show, they tend to come to the defense of any kind of fan art much more quickly than if it was something they didn't know or it wasn't super popular. It's very interesting how it's all very like psychological with how it works.
I'll just say this. Have you ever seen a lot of hate directed towards shit like Cardcaptor Sakura?
No.
Yeah. Do you see, like, whenever an artist draws, and this, mind you know, this isn't even Lolly Show related, but, you know, if we're going by the moralist, you know, standpoint, Sailor Moon, a lot of hentai.
Yep.
People fucking love it. And you don't see a lot of them going, oh, what's her fucking age, man? You know, whenever someone posts hentai of Sailor Moon on Twitter.
It's kind of like that with Pokemon a bit, too.
Yeah.
There's definitely like an element of how popular something is. Like, people are willing to cut it more slack a lot of the time.
Exactly. Like Art of Misty from Pokemon.
Yep.
Yeah, Art of Misty. There is an entire subreddit dedicated to Misty hentai. It's just there. They don't allow Lolly, but there's Misty hentai. There's Misty lewd cosplayers. Nobody's over there saying, oh, but what's her age, though? You know, that's like, you hit the nail on the head there, I feel.
I wonder if it's like a legacy thing too, like that a character has been around for so long and has endured for so long that it kind of like it just kind of has crystallized itself. So you can't really anybody who like asks those kinds of questions or like tries to go against it, they're going to immediately get pushed back.
Could be.
Because I mean, Misty's been around for, oh God, almost 25 years. No, 25 years now, her character. So, you know, that's a quarter of a century.
I think more. Like,
multiple generations now know her character. So it's like that legacy that it built of that character is the reason why I think no real harm comes to them when people do art. And that's why she's like a go-to.
Like, if you look at, I guess, one of the classic examples of people obsessing over character ages is probably My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
But that shit is still ongoing, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with Misty, she's, you know, she's had her time in the sun already in the Pokemon anime several years ago. So, you know, that's, she's part of that legacy. So she's not like in the circulation as much. So I feel like it's exactly what Hydra said with the legacy thing.
It could be. And it could also be that. Because, like, I legitimately don't get it. Because you get hentai done of My Hero Academia. Or if you post, like, anything. Like, oh my God, I genuinely cannot stand. I kind of don't even pay attention to the fandom of My Hero Academia anymore, especially over the Western side of it, because like all they do is bitch. Oh my God. Every single thing. Oh, this character's panties showed up in this one angle of this one issue of the manga. And then they make this whole thing of it. And I'm like, oh my Lord, that is tiresome. So I don't understand. I don't know why, because I don't see that done as hard anywhere else. Maybe the Genshin community, but they stop. And I can't tell why they stopped. I don't know the logic behind it. I guess they just got shouted down.
feel like there's like a sort of bandwagon fad sort of thing that comes in waves. They can come in waves, you know.
Maybe. I just love how they tried doing like pulling the same thing with Blue Archive. Some time ago, I remember finding out about Blue Archive because someone on Twitter was complaining about it. And this, I remember, I had an artist friend who constantly told us about Blue Archive, but I didn't connect the dots. Like, I didn't, like, realize he was talking about this one thing. And I was like, what the hell? Why are people complaining? Like, these are adorable. And then they're like, it's because look at their age and this and that and the other. And I'm like, so?
Yep.
I think that's what happens is people just go so, and then that whole kind of pushback again it fizzles out, and that's what happens.
Yeah, and then a week later, give or take, it was just gone, and I never heard anything about it again. The only time I heard like people bitching once more was back when there was an announcement that they were working on a Blue Archive anime. And then I remember seeing like some post or another on Twitter. Oh, out of so many anime, they're going to make this one. Yeah. Yeah, they are, because like it's literally one of the, I think it's either one of or the biggest and most downloaded game on the Play Store, I think at the moment. So yeah, no fucking shit. It's gonna, you know, and it's great. Like, if you haven't, I recommend you watch some of the streams where the some of the artists, like they interview the artists sometimes, and they go like, "Oh, so what were your?" It's always the same thing. It was like, "Oh, so what was your decision behind the?" What was your thought process behind the decisions that led to this character's design? Oh, we thought it'd be cute. It is always that. They just go like, oh yeah, no, we thought that the wings on her hip would be cute. And then giving her little cat eyes at, like sometimes when she gets nervous. That was also a cute thing. So we put it in. And then we thought to ourselves, how would she look in a bikini? So we did that. It's always that.
Very respectable.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, you got to give him credit. And I love how the company, like the parent company behind Blue Archive, they know what they're doing. They absolutely fucking know. There was this one stream where the guy was like, oh, I'm seeing a lot of crying emojis. It was this stuffy corporate looking guy, and he was just talking on and on about the game, and people were just like crying emojis everywhere. Whoa. And he genuinely went like, I see you putting a lot of crying emojis in the comments. Keep them coming. We know, you know, we love seeing it. And I'm like, oh God, this guy is so cool.
That's awesome.
I wonder if he even knew what those emojis meant.
He definitely knew, man. Trust me, you don't work for Blue Archive without knowing what's going on. It is impossible. It is impossible.
I think it also plays into the thing too, like what you said, like they just design these characters because they want to make them cute and they want to create them.
Exactly.
What ends up happening is when whether you're a small creator or a big time studio like they are, if you just maintain your minds or your principles really of being like, I want to create this because it's fun and I like it. Other people, I think, are attracted to that or respect that more when you just are like, well, I'm just making this because I enjoy it for myself, or, well, I just make this because I think everybody else is going to like it. And I thought the design was great. And they're unwavering in that commands a lot more interest from people.
There's this one artist I know, I absolutely look up to him. I'm not going to name him right now, but I absolutely fucking love the guy. And I remember one thing he told me when I was asking him for like, all right, so how do I, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of stuck. You know, I feel like I lost traction. And he was like, you know what you could do? You can draw what you love. You do that. You know, the people will feel the love and what you draw, and then they'll come. Oh, hell yeah, dude. And that was the inspiration behind me drawing that Spy Family pic, because I wanted, like, I was like, oh man, I want to draw fan art of that. I fucking love Anya. I'm loving this anime. So let's try it. Let's give it a try. And it is legitimately like one of my favorite pics that I've ever drawn. And it's just because I put so much, and I basically like didn't give a shit anymore. I was like, yeah, screw it. I'm going to draw what I want and not really give a shit. And then, yeah, it worked. That's what I feel more people should do, because these days, one thing we're seeing in regards to a lot of new projects, and I understand, you know, trust me, again, money's great, but a lot of projects these days are more safe and they're money driven. You know, it's all for the profit. So we have to produce something that everyone will like. It's like a wide casting net. Now, trust me, nothing wrong with that. But don't feel surprised, or at least it shouldn't come as a surprise at this point, especially because we have so many examples of it not working out, where if you try to appease everyone, you appease no one. Because that's not how this works.
Yep.
You have to draw. You have to draw what you love. You have to produce what you love, animate what you love. And that's why, you know, people complain a lot these days. Oh, animations feel soulless. Well, yeah. Like, why do you think manga and anime have been taking over? It's because a lot of these things are like these passion projects made by absolute lunatics who are just trying their best to stand out in a sea of content. And if you make something that like people can feel the love in, that's going to be enough. Sometimes it's not, mind you, but you know.
So Kaz, if someone wants to find your work, how can they find you?
Oh, they can find me on Pixivy. They can find me on Balrog. They can also find me on Twitter. On Twitter, I haven't been posting a lot of art there for, you know, obvious reasons. I am on my first Twitter account. Mind you, I never got banned, not once.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. Oh, never happened.
You must have been very strategic.
Yeah, very, very strategic. First ever, you know, never happened before. Kaz_art on Balrog. How did I call myself? I think it's just Kaz. Yeah, @Kaz. And on Pixiv, you can find me under Kaz as well. Just Kaz. Or Kaz. No, I don't. I think there's already someone else there called Kaz, but it's Kaz-K. You can find me under there as well.
Sweet. And so I think you said that you take commissions sometimes?
Yeah. Normally, I have commissions open. You know, it's just a matter of DMing me for the details. I will get back to you as soon as I can. I have been fairly busy recently, so I haven't been able to check DMs as often as I wanted. But as soon as I catch a break, I will check the DMs that I have. I will get back to you. Don't worry, it could take a while, but I will, you know, inevitably get to you. And yeah, if you're, if anyone here listening to this ever wants to commission, go right ahead, you know, hit me up. My DMs are always open. And yeah, we're just hit me up. I've got no rules. You know, if I think something's too weird, I just won't publish it, but we're good.
Awesome. And do you have like a Subscribestar as well?
No, I have a fan box.
We really had a good time with you on this podcast episode. I feel like this was a great episode for you know, motivation for creators and artists. And I really think you gave a lot of great insight and a lot of great knowledge and tips on how to get into the right mindset and the right headspace and how to you know, remain positive during, you know, the different trials and tribulations that you'll face as an artist or a creator.
Well, I appreciate it. you know, thank you. I also had a lot of fun. This was great. And I'm glad that I could be, you know, of help.
That was fantastic having you on.
And if you ever want to come back for, you know, a future episode, because, you know, that there's always stuff that we may not have gotten to, that if you ever want to come back, you know, we can always set up another time in the future.
Oh, hell yeah. Would love that.